Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct to my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for making this work. John, how you doing?
Oh, keeping busy. The irrigation finally went off.
Yeah, it did. And it has been, you know, we talk about this and you see them out there. We've a lot of guys out there the last weekend and this weekend running around with those compressors.
Yep.
And getting those sprinkler blowouts done. And in fact, we had that issue come up two or three times in the last week because we're in that transition where houses are closing and the new buyers are wondering if the sprinklers were blown out. Mm-hmm. And the sellers sometimes are communicative of that fact. Sometimes they're gone or they've mm-hmm. moved away and their agent doesn't know or doesn't get back to them. So we definitely recommend to people this time of year, if you are thinking about selling or you are doing that, keeping a receipt, because
yes,
a lot of people are just driving down the street, knocking on doors, blowing out the sprinklers, but don't have proof that that was done. Or
yeah.
So snap a picture with your phone and or even
of
better
doing it,
of them doing that and keep
then,
a receipt.
Yes.
Because you might need to prove that at some point. So good to be back, too, McKay. Thanks for you had to shove an encore show in there
mm-hmm.
For me last weekend. I just got absolutely land blasted with appointments and some real estate stuff that we could not push back. And I called McKay in a panic, and I am like, there is no way I'm going to make it. So,
well, you can't tell somebody you're showing a house or working a deal, hey, sorry, I'll be back in an hour. I got to go do a show.
Yeah, it was just that. There were some, we had some people gone out of town, and there were some things that just, yeah, had to be handled in a timely manner. And that's real estate and negotiating. And so
yep.
We rolled with it and got taken care of. It doesn't happen very often, but I appreciate you loading that up. So we always like to start the show off with our crazy celebrity real estate story.
Okay.
This week, I went with an Airbnb story. So what is actually happening is they opened it up last week, and you are going to be able to do this coming week, October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. The Goodyear blimp is allowing people to Airbnb the pod.
Wow.
To sleep in. Now, here's the thing, McKay.
Is it going to be in the air or on the ground?
You knew it right off the bat. I said the same thing because somebody had mentioned it in the office. And so I'm like, oh, that's a great story for the radio. Give it to me. And so I looked it up. So it's actually really affordable. I mean, the demand was huge. But so it was $150 a night, but they have it parked in the hangar.
Okay.
And so it's parked in the hangar, and then they kind of, outside of the steps, they set up this cool little, like your own little camping area. So they mm-hmm. put down, like, it looks like some synthetic grass and a TV.
Well, that's cool.
And a couch. But inside the pod, you know, they have it decorated with a bed and some shelving and stuff. And they're actually kind of doing this as a promotion, is it booking it for that, for one of the nights. You were being gifted tickets to watch the Michigan Notre Dame game. And then
ooh.
You can see the blimp, you know, overhead that you were fortunate enough to have spent the previous night in. So I thought that was kind of just kind of a different story. That was one I've absolutely never seen before, either in real estate or on Airbnb. Now, I'm thinking, like, with you, McKay, that's probably not enough to get me to fly out there. But if they had a package where you had it overnight, and it was in the air. Does that thing even fly at night? I think it has lights on it.
I'm sure it's got radar and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking they need to
up the ante a little bit.
Up the ante a little bit and do a
I'm game.
Do a flying one. So.
Hey, be blimp worthy. If you watch college football ridiculously like we do.
Absolutely. So there you have it. That's our crazy celebrity real estate story. On the local front, with our local Tri-Cities real estate story, numbers coming in off of September from the Tri-City Association of Realtors, another plus 400 sales month last month in September. So over 400 closings last month. And like we said, inventory, you know, still hovering right around 700. So still a very, very active market. And I got to tell you, with the weather the way it's been, we have just been absolutely slammed. I mean, we had a couple of those cold nights a week or two ago, but we've really had mild weather, and so it's just made everything stay very, very busy. It's almost like we didn't finish up our summer rush. Everybody got back into school. We had the good weather, so there's still a lot of time to pick lots if people are thinking about building. Mm-hmm. There's some new subdivisions that have come online. There's a lot of good choices out there. And with the inventory mark being up there higher, that's one of the reasons why we're so busy, because we have that perfect intersection of low rates and better inventory has helped out a ton. So for today's topic, I briefly wanted to get into, so we always like to look around what's happening in the market and then bring those stories to the show as real examples of what people are dealing with right now. And one of the biggest things, and it came up three or four times last week, and I was talking about it with a number of agents, and we were working out ways to make this happen, is we had a lot of people in our office that were ready to sell, but needed to sell their current house to buy their next house. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they had multiple houses and needed to sell two to combine to be in one, or that type of situation.
That could lead to a contingency.
And that's exactly what I brought. McKay's been listening here over the years. And so a lot of people ask, how can I do that? And will someone accept a contingent offer? One of the reasons we're seeing so much more of it in the market right now is we've had the increased amount of inventory. So when we were back at 400 homes on the market, almost no seller would accept a contingent offer, because there was somebody lined up right behind them that was non-contingent. So when there's more choices out there and people have a little more time, it starts to creep back into the marketplace. And so what you can actually do is you can write your offer on the new house you want. Let's say you're downsizing in square footage. Mm-hmm. You have an older home, 20 years old, that's 3,000 square feet. And you want to downsize square footage to newer 2,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. So what you do is, and when I say downsizing, I'm specific about saying in square footage, because price wise, you might be the same.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be a downsize. If you're exchanging older for brand new, you have to look at what that means. So let's say you're downsizing in square footage. So if its price is very similar and the same, you're going to need the equity from your other sale to close on your new house.
Yes.
So you actually write the offer contingent upon a certain time frame to get your home sold. So you go to the seller and say, hey, the house is listed at $300,000. I love it. I want to purchase it. I would like to make my offer contingent upon selling my home, which is going to be listed actually a little bit less, let's say $275,000. So give me 30 days to sell my home. Mm-hmm. And then once I have a contract on it and a closing date, then I can now purchase your home with the funds from that sale. So the seller has to make a decision in that situation, and that's where we get into kind of sitting down and talking about the pros and cons of that. Pros, obviously, is you've got a buyer on the hook that loves your house and is making a commitment to purchase it. Negative is that you look at is what are the chances of that other house selling? So when you accept a contingent offer, what happens is your status changes on the websites, on the multiple listing service, to what is known is active with a bump, meaning that the house, someone else could still make an offer, but the first buyer would have an opportunity to respond to that offer.
Yeah.
So it's called a bump. So if there's a bump clause in your contingency, you say to the seller, you know, let's sign this around. I'll get my house on the market. I'll try to get it sold. But if another non-contingent buyer comes along and makes an offer that is acceptable to you, and they could even be contingent also. That I should clarify that. Mm-hmm. But there's a better offer made, then I have 3 days to either sell my other house or find a way to be able to purchase yours non-contingent and waive all my contingencies. So what happens, though, is no matter how you slice it or look at it, the negative to the seller is their number of showings go down.
Yeah.
Because buyers are not as willing to look at an active with a bump house as they would be just a purely active house that had no activity on it.
Because they know that potentially this house could disappear tomorrow.
Well, yeah, exactly. And they don't know for sure what the situation is with the other buyer. They might have put in a contingent offer, but they don't really need to sell their other house. They want to, but they don't really have to. So when push comes to shove, so we might fall in love with that house, write an offer, a very good offer, and then have the first buyer waive their contingencies and move forward. So now we've just spent, the buyer's gone through a very emotional process. That was the house they wanted. They made a good offer. And then the other buyer just was able to move forward regardless. So that can be really emotionally devastating to buyers. So some buyers, when we explain what can happen in that situation, just say, I don't want to deal with it. And so I'm not going to go look at that house. And so what happens is the traffic on the contingent property does go down. You will get less showings. And so that's the risk. The other risk is that the contingent property doesn't sell. You give them 30 days to sell it. Here we are. We're coming in the first part of November, end of October, first part of November. Weather's still good. Properties still look great. Good, easy to show the properties. Good selling season. And then what could potentially happen? Your house is effectively off the market for 30 days while you're waiting on the contingency. It doesn't sell. Now you're back on the market December 1. And maybe you're closer to your job transfer date and it didn't end up selling. So the seller really has to look at bird in hand with a negotiated price versus potential of what else I could get. And no two answers are the same. You know, there's different houses, different situations, different work schedules that people have to be aware of. So really balancing that, and can I get that contingent property sold? So as a seller, not only do you want to know what the offer is you're currently negotiating, but you want to know about the contingent property. Is it a house that it looks well kept and looks like it'll sell quickly? Where are they going to price that contingent property? Are they trying to overprice it and so it's going to sit? Or are they being realistic with what's going to sell?
And smart.
And so you have to ask some probing questions, not only about the offer you're negotiating on, but now also what does the contingent property look like? We're coming up on our first break. There's a lot that goes into that, and I know we went over some of that fast, but we're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we're going to look at a few of the clauses that go along with listing a contingent property, and then also take a look at some of the other surprises that can pop up this time of year in real estate.
Right here on News Talk 870.
To the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about some common headaches that sellers and buyers are facing in the market right now. And one of those is dealing with contingency sales. Before the break, we talked a little bit about how you can avoid moving twice and that balancing act between getting a contingent property sold and also getting a seller to accept your terms to be able to do that. One of the things we briefly touched on before the break was what they call a bump period, because a lot of sellers, they want to take a contingent offer, but they also want to have the ability, if a better offer comes along, to get rid of that first offer. Now, in general terms of real estate, without this contingency, that kind of goes against the common sense of a contract, right? Because you're like, I have a contract to sell and a contract to buy at a certain price. You don't want either party really to be able to unilaterally cancel the other party. That would be kind of the opposite of what a contract is.
Yeah.
But with a contingency like this, since it is a risk and not a for sure, they do give what's called a bump period. So the property remains on the market in contingent status. But that tells folks that if you're willing to take the chance and you're non-contingent or you have a better offer than the current contingency, bring your offer. And if we end up accepting it in the backup position, then we're required to give notice to the first offer. And they have, that's a negotiated amount. Most people say between 1 to 5 days. They have 1 to 5 days to get back to us and say, okay, yeah, we'll really buy it. We don't have to sell our other house. Or they will terminate the agreement, causing the second buyer to go into first position. So there's a chance. And so if someone has the ability, they're non-contingent and they don't mind the emotional roller coaster, sometimes we will have clients that want to make offers on contingent properties that already have an offer on them. And sometimes they bump, you know, and they end up getting it. And other times that first buyer waives their contingencies and moves forward. So it's just, you don't know. There's really no good way to tell until you put pen to paper and force them into that contractual time period.
Well, that's interesting. If somebody's contingent and if they want the house bad enough, they find a way to come up with the money so they don't have to do a contingency.
Yeah, and a lot of times it comes down to convenience. So they might say the best thing for them might be to wait till they had the money from their other sale, or wait till their other house was under contract, but they could afford it. They just don't want to do that. So sometimes they'll write contingent, but they don't have to be. And
okay,
and if you, unless you call their bluff, you don't really know if how true that is.
Yeah,
and so it comes down to having another offer to force them out of that first position.
Do their financials ever give you a clue?
Well, generally, sometimes you look at what they're selling. So there is some things you can do, because they're going to tell you what that contingent property is. And if your property is a $200,000 property and you look up their contingent property and it's a $600,000 property that they bought 20 years ago and you think's paid off, you might think to yourself, gosh, I bet they could purchase this $200,000 house and not have to sell the other one.
Yeah.
And so you can do some research to try to determine that. Now, if someone is making a move up, let's say they're selling their starter home that they bought 5 years ago for $200,000, and they're buying your $400,000 house. Well, that's a much different situation.
Yeah.
And you're probably thinking to yourself,
they got to unload it to get mine.
Yeah, they might need to sell theirs to get the equity to purchase yours.
Okay.
Can't always judge a book by its cover, but sometimes you can judge a property by the public records.
There you go.
That's the real estate way. So we do that research. We help the clients make an informed situation and what kind of clues they can look for to be doing that. Before I get out of control with a couple more of the contingencies that we're seeing cause some headaches right now in the marketplace, I do want to knock out my pick three. We've got some exciting properties. We're still bringing on great properties this time of year. It's still a fantastic time to be looking at putting a house on the market and getting it sold. 5014 Kennedy Way in Pasco. This is a great West Pasco location. Three bedroom, three bath, plus an office. It's so what you've got is the Rambler with the bonus room. It's in the Village at Pasco Heights. 2518 square feet. So good size house, awesome laminate wood flooring throughout, raised and vaulted ceilings, open great room. You've got, it's getting colder, so you've got that spacious living room with the gas fireplace that you can fire up as it starts to get colder. Awesome private master suite that also has a fireplace in the master. Master bath with soaking tub, separate shower, huge walk-in. Great, great property. Then you've got also outside, fully fenced, private, low-maintenance backyard, fire pit, 40-foot covered patio.
Wow.
This place is dialed in, and this is coming in at a great price point. $319.9 for that house in Pasco.
I like the low maintenance yard part.
Low maintenance yard, big patio, big covered patio, fire pit, low maintenance backyard. I love it. Now, pick number two. These are some new listings that we just listed that we're super excited. Outside of Benton City on OIE, so Old Inland Empire Highway, just outside of Benton City, we just listed irrigated acreage lots that have panoramic views and Yakima River frontage.
Wow.
So we just listed riverfront lots, and this is right outside of Benton City. Great, easy access to highways and the amenities. These have awesome mountain views. So you got the river right at the edge of your property. You got you look over at the mountains, which is just awesome.
You got irrigation.
There's nine lots out there. They all have power and irrigation to the driveways. Septic approval is complete. Minutes away from numerous wineries out there. And this is a great place to build your forever home. Prices starting at $189,000 going to $227,500. So the $189,000, that's 2.8 acres.
Wow.
Riverfront lot.
That's pretty good.
And then the $227,500, they go up to just over 3 acres. So our biggest one out there, 3.1 acres. I mean, just fantastically awesome. One of the lots has 432 feet of river frontage.
Ooh.
So awesome, awesome layout. I'm just totally pumped by that. If you've been looking for riverfront lots on the Yakima to build, this is a great one to check out. And then pick number three, 2860 Jacob Court in Kennewick. This is an awesome Kennewick location. This is on 5 acres. In the heart of Rancho Riata. So you normally don't get that big of acreage in that part of town. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home with a huge shop. And the house itself is 2453 square feet, new HVAC system, new exterior paint, hardwood floors, vaulted ceilings. The kitchen has granite tile counters, tile floors. Just absolutely awesome kitchen to entertain in. Upper level master suite has French doors and a private balcony. Jetted tub, tiled shower, dual closets. And then I got to tell you, the shop is unreal. 1,560 square foot shop with 2 bays. One of them has a 14-foot door, 200-amp panel, and a vehicle lift. So you can take care of all the projects. And we're under $500,000 on that deal now. We're $479.9 to get into South Richland, West Kennewick location, 2860 Jacob Court. Go to KenmoreTeam.com. Check it out. That should be my asterisk pick three, because that property is undervalued at this point. So
it's not going to be there for long.
That's one to check out and take a look at for sure. Well, before we hit that pick three, we were kind of taking a look at what are some of the contingencies out there and things that are giving some of our current real estate deals? I called it a little bit of headaches for buyers and sellers right now. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing that comes up the most, and one of the most important, in fact, Washington Association of Realtors is doing a video series on this right now. And that is, you're under contract, so now what about the home inspection? And so I watched and was doing some education and some continuing education, and there was a great series about talking about what does that inspection contingency mean? Well, in very basic terms, that's written up to say for the first 10 days that we, once we're all signed around, it's called mutual acceptance under contract. The buyer then has 10 days to do a totally subjective inspection of the property.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, our general contracts, our language stipulates that the only people allowed to do that inspection is the buyer themselves or a Washington State licensed home inspector.
Mm.
And so a lot of times what you run into is somebody's like, well, you know what? My good friend Carl is a general contractor in Nebraska, and he just happens to be here this weekend, and he'd like to look at. That's not allowed by our Washington State standard forms that we use in those real estate transactions. That's not allowed. So you either need to be qualified to do your own home inspection. And I've only ran into that over the last 500, you know, say transactions that I can remember. I can only think of probably five times that I've felt confident that somebody could do their own home inspection.
Wow.
And two of those times, it's because I sold houses to home inspectors. So like, so two of those five were because they were buying a property. And so I felt confident that that would be the case. And then the other three were actually general contractors that were planning to do substantial remodels to the properties we had bought. So they're doing this every day inside and out.
And they know what's going on.
For everybody else, we like to refer them to a licensed home inspector in the state of Washington. And then what happens is a lot of sellers don't realize the buyer does not, in that 10-day home period, they do not have to give the seller the opportunity to repair stuff. They do not have to give the seller the results of that home inspection. So, in fact, the buyer can walk through the property themselves, mm-hmm. decide they don't like it, look in one closet, and within their contractual rights, within that first 10-day period or another period they've negotiated, they can terminate the contract. Just
wow.
say, you know, inspection not satisfied. And that's really frustrating. It doesn't happen a ton, but it does happen. That's one of the options
Ooh.
That the buyers have. And that's really frustrating for a seller because you get excited. You're under contract. Yay, we're going to find out what the home
Yay.
Inspection is. And what did you just say, Lance? That's what I get on the other side of the phone. I'm sorry. I just got noticed the buyer has terminated and they're gone. Well, why did they terminate? Well, they didn't tell us. Well, what's wrong with the house? What do I not know? So it creates a lot of doubt. But mm-hmm. there is hundreds and hundreds of reasons. Maybe the buyer had buyer's remorse. Maybe they had a job transfer and this was the easiest contingency for them to get out of mm-hmm. legally. Maybe, you know, I could go on and we could do 20 real estate shows about it and be really boring. But there are so many things that, and everybody has curiosity and wants to know. But in those situations, the best thing we can do is just get the house back on the market as fast as possible.
Yes.
And find that next buyer that we're going to get to explore and go through the process with. And so that came up a couple times in the last week. And so just setting those expectations. More than likely, though, after that home inspection, you're going to get a laundry list of requests from the buyer. And they will request maybe certain things to be fixed or repaired. They might request a credit. Maybe they discover some issues that are more cosmetic, some scratches on appliances mm-hmm. or, and everything works, but there's some cosmetic issues and they'd like to be compensated for that. They didn't see it when they first saw the house. So they might ask for a credit to do that. The other thing that we're pointing out is they're very likely to potentially also discover problems in the home inspection that could be problematic for financing, that could affect lending. And so they'll be pointing out those defects and those type of issues that could be found. So it really comes down to another negotiation. And so we tell a lot of people it's exciting to get under contract on the first. And then, but what happens is we're not really, really excited that we're moving forward until after we've gotten through that home inspection period. And that has either been satisfied or waived. That's when we can start to, you know, maybe start packing up a couple boxes, McKay, doing the heavy lifting, as they say. And then we are still, however, in the transaction. Just a side note, I'm not talking about it today, but we are still, you know, at the mercy, if there's financing, of waiting for the appraisal after that.
Yep.
And so as we go into a season where there are weather issues, there's potentially rain, some freezing temperatures, a lot of times, you know, we might write 7-day inspection periods, 1 week. This time of year, you need to be a little more cognizant of maybe you need a 10 or a 12-day inspection period because of holidays or falling on a holiday weekend or an extended time period when somebody is not going to be around, or you need a specialist to look at a system in the house. So really just being aware of that we're coming into a season where some of those time periods need to be adjusted. If you have any questions about this at all, go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot me a message. Thank you for all the referrals. We had just an awesome rash of radio listener referrals over the course of the last 2 weeks. So we appreciate you listening and referring your friends and family. And we're out there taking great care of them. If you have any questions at all, go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.